You know, I mean, I think we are so accustomed to kind of putting up, you know, a mask and saying, well, I can't let you know that I don't have it all together, because then what will you think of me? Will you still be my friend? But that's where our friendships really are rooted.
Lazy, entitled, selfish. Those are just some of the things people are calling the millennial generation. But are the stigmas true?
We're the Adkins. We are a millennial couple, and this question is something that we have become obsessed with finding the answer to. We admit that our generation has some flaws, but it's time we stop just accepting that's the way it is and start doing something about it. We have been on a mission to pursue our God-given purposes, and we are sharing that mission in real time. Through this podcast, our goals are to help you realize that you have a unique purpose, give you the tools to discover what that purpose is, and challenge you, millennial or not, to rise up and live out every day being the person that God has designed you to be.
If we do these things together, we truly believe that we will be able to break the stigmas of millennials and shift the narrative of our generation. We won't just be a force for good, but we will be trailblazers for the generations to come.
Are you ready to start your mission?
Guys, thank you for joining us again for another episode of the Millennial Mission Podcast. We are here today with Victoria Durstock. And Victoria, she's a creative and an entrepreneur, and she has multiple books. She has over 20 years, is that right, experience in the home furnishing industry?
I'm old and I hang out with people. So yeah.
You don't look old. You look great.
I was a little shocked by the 20 years.
Yeah, seriously. But anyway, you might be wondering, so home furnishing, you might be wondering what that has to do with millennials and purpose. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're really excited. I'm truly so excited about this topic because I feel like we're missing the mark on this and I can't wait to dive into it. So Victoria, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you both just being open to having the conversation. And I'm excited to see, you know, what we get to talk about today.
Me too. Okay. So one of the our favorite things that we highlight before we get into the real topic is we always like to share a little bit of our guest stories kind of leading up to how you got to where you are today. Because I think one of the big things that millennials forget is that life is a journey and we don't just arrive overnight. And so I feel like we haven't had one story where we don't have a life lesson that we can take away from it. So go ahead and just start wherever you want.
This could be long. I'm actually a trained pianist. I worked on my piano degree early on. That's what I graduated with. I played classical piano and did a music education master's degree because I anticipated doing that the rest of my life. And it was really convenient because when the children were little, you know, I got married after I got my master's degree. When the children were little, I was able to teach piano lessons, be at home. We ended up homeschooling after a little while. So it was nice because I could be mom. I could do the thing I loved as well as, you know, be home. Yeah. But there was a point about 6 years ago where, it just wasn't quite what it had been. And I felt like the Lord was just kind of like shifting things in my heart. And I knew it was the Lord. It wasn't me, because that was a time where I was really digging into the Bible and really trying to understand, you know, what it was that God was doing in my heart and in my life. And I'd gotten really serious about memorizing scripture, about really being consistent, you know, in my walk. And so I thought, well, I don't know what this means. You know, and I'd always had this dream that one day I would sit down and I would write books and it would just be this really ideal experience. I'd get to look at the beautiful outdoors and I get to put my feet up and relax and I'd write books and people would go, those are great books. Let's publish them. And I just thought I had this very naive conception of what publishing would look like. And I learned very quickly that's not the process. And it's really far, far removed from actual work that takes place to get these things done.
Yes.
And so I started writing, I started learning what I needed to learn. And platform was a big thing that kept coming up. You know, nobody knows who you are. You have 50 Twitter followers, you know, it was just one of those things. And I was like, social media, who cares? You know, I got these kids to raise, I got all this stuff going on. And so I had to learn a lot of things over the last few years. And the Lord just kind of kept opening doors at the right time. And the Heart and Home book started a few years ago. with just this combination of furniture experience. You say, well, how did you get all that in the midst of this? Well, I worked with my husband a lot through the years because I got very sick when I was pregnant, and so sick that I couldn't teach and I couldn't do music and I couldn't do the things that I loved. So I ended up working over in the furniture and design industry with him and doing his thing. And, you know, there were times where I was like, God, what are you doing? Why am I not doing this thing that you gave me this gift for? And why am I not doing this thing that I love and I'm passionate about? Why am I doing interior design and furniture stuff and going to furniture markets, which is great fun. I don't want to take away from that. It was great, great fun. I loved going, but it was really his thing that I was kind of involved in. But I learned a lot from the designers. The designers would do all their projects and I'd hang out and I'd help them stay organized and do all their things. And it was in that time that I learned a lot about design basics like flow and harmony and unity. And then I would find those same things in scripture. So when it was time to really promote and talk about a book that I wanted to write, it was really just short devotionals that kind of talk about, hey, God is a God of design. He's a God of beauty and creativity. And it's all through scripture. You look at the tabernacle, you look at the priest's robes, you look at the temple build. I mean, he was very specific in detail. You look at creation, right? I mean, there's just story upon story where we can look at his design. And that's where I get really excited because I go, you know what? That's design there, but there's also this design in my heart. And he made me the way I am.
That is so awesome. Do you have something you're going to
say? Yeah. I'm just curious, as I was looking through the book, I thought this is a really cool, different book than what I've ever seen before. And this really, I'll just be honest, as a guy, this design and the devotions towards women isn't my area. But I thought it was so cool how you integrated your experience in design with the devotions.
There's marriage tips in it, guys. Marriage
tips for geared towards the ladies, just saying.
Well, I think both can benefit, honestly.
Yeah. I agree.
Benefiting. I was reading through this. I was like, this is really good. What gave you that idea, though, to integrate the design? I know you talked a little bit about how it integrates together, but what gave you that idea to integrate your experience in design with writing and with devotionals?
I think part of that was really just some of my writing journey was it was hard. It was hard to break into the industry. The first few things that I wanted to do weren't really like, people weren't like, oh yeah, let's do that. You know? And so I was trying to find what was my toe in the door and really try to understand, you know, where could I go? And I felt like traditional publishing was something I wanted to do first, and then I could explore other avenues. So I had written several short devotionals with other people. I was in several anthologies. And so I was thinking, okay, I know how to do this. Obviously, people have paid me, thankfully, you know, to write these short devotionals. So I think there's something there. And then I know I've got this experience and this person who's in the industry that I can talk ideas back and forth with. And HGTV is so popular. Like, who wouldn't want like a little short devotional that's got beautiful pictures? And, you know, part of my passion too is to try to find a way to create something beautiful to put in somebody's hand, like a gift or a coffee table book or something, where you could start a gospel conversation with somebody, right? Without it being super awkward. I want a book where maybe somebody who's not a Christian would maybe pick it up and take a look at it and then be interested in maybe reading just a little bit more and maybe getting an idea of, well, maybe that Christian thing's not so bad, and being able to open the door for the gospel conversation. So for me, it was one of those things where the lights just kind of kept clicking for me that we could integrate these two things. And wouldn't it be really awesome if somebody got excited about it? And somebody did. And that's kind of how I got started. The first book was followed quickly by a Christmas book. And then it was, which book do we do next? And after COVID hit, I thought, you know what? Everybody's going to be home and they're all going to just enjoy their family time together. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Marriages are going to get stronger. And that's not what happened. You know, everybody's under the one roof, the fissures, the arguments, the conflicts all kind of escalated. And so my heart was, I really need to do something that's geared towards marriage to really try to encourage marriage. People have gotten married during this time and they haven't had their celebrations. And so I just wanted to write something, not because I'm an expert. I mean, we're here at 25 years. And I think both my husband and myself would tell you, we are not experts. I'm an only child and he's a firstborn. So conflict is, you know, frequent and we have to figure it out often. But it's something that I'm passionate about encouraging because it's hard. It's hard to work together. It's hard work. And I think sometimes we have a vision of marriage that it should be easier than it is. And if it's not, something's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Before you say something, I will say, for not being an expert, the handful of passages that I read through were dead on.
Yeah.
They're very, very good, well thought out, and really modernized in a sense for today. It was very good.
Thank you.
So the title is really what drew me in. And I think that it's so relevant to millennials and also for our phase of life right now, which guard your heart and home. And at first glance, it's like, okay, well, how does this tie in? But, you know, thinking about, so Corey and I have traveled a lot in our life. We moved cross country. We love to travel. We moved to California from Ohio, and then we moved back to Ohio from California. And truly, we, up until recently, probably within the last year, we always said, okay, we're just going to keep traveling. You know, we can travel with kids. Our kids are great travelers, and we're just going to keep doing this. And then our hearts started shifting, and we started just feeling like it was time for us to get rooted. And we were felt like we were lacking something, but we didn't really know what. And we realized that for us, it was community and connection and having those close friendships where it's not just superficial or you pat, you know, their back and they'll pat yours, but like you do life together and you take dinners to each other when you're sick. And so I feel like that really is the heart of this book. And I also think that it's something that our generation is really missing out on.
Yeah. I mean, I am passionate about the idea of our homes being a place of mission, like a mission outpost, right? An extension of the church without it being overbearing or churchy for people, and where we can say, listen, you're welcome in my place, even if you have to sit and fold laundry with me. You know, I mean, I think we are so accustomed to kind of putting up, you know, a mask and saying, well, I can't let you know that I don't have it all together, because then what will you think of me? Will you still be my friend? But that's where our friendships really are rooted, is when people do discover, you know, like you really do have an issue. You've got 40 loads of laundry that need to be done. You know, then we like, oh, well, me too. You know, like that me too moment where we realize, hey, I've got the same issues you do. We're not perfect. And we're not trying to tell people we're perfect. You know, we've got conflict, or we do have dishes that need to be washed, or, you know, there's dust bunnies in the corner, the house isn't great, you know, but come over anyway, because I care about you. I wrote a book about hospitality last year, and I said, you know, a lot of times it's clutter, you know, that keeps me from people, right? I have too many things, and then people walk in and they don't feel comfortable in the space. And, you know, I'm passionate about saying, listen, get rid of the stuff. Cause if stuff keeps me from people, then it's not right. It's wrong.
Yeah, man, that's good. So I'm wondering if you see a shift in, like, do you feel like people are less connected than they used to be?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, prior to COVID and pandemic and quarantine and all of the words that all relate to the last, almost 2 years of our lives. It seemed like we were all so busy. It was really hard to do life together. We have 3 children. We've gone through that whole phase where you make everybody do one activity so that you can at least have some in your life, right? But yes, it's still 3 activities.
Right. We're right there almost.
And ours are not the same age. You know, we have 2 that are 4 years apart and 2 that are 3 years apart. So like, it's not like they're all doing the same thing at the same time. So 2 of you are going in one direction and somebody's hoping that the other one can catch up at some point. I mean, 3 is just, who planned that? You know, 2 would have been so much easier. Maybe 4, I don't know. But, we've been through that. Like, it's so busy. There's not a night free. There's, especially if you're going to church and you're trying to be plugged in and doing church activities, or we work, we're tired at the end of the day. It is hard to connect with people. It's so much easier just to come home, flip the garage door down and hide for a little while. And I do want our homes to be places where we're comfortable, and we want to hide sometimes, but we can't just stay there. We can't be content. Because I really do think our homes have this great opportunity where we don't have to entertain an entire, you know, plethora of people. We don't need 20 people in the house in order to consider it hospitality. We could just have another couple come over and say, I'm ordering pizza tonight. You want to come over and just hang out? I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated. I think we overcomplicate what hospitality, what home really looks like, what bringing other people into our space looks like, when we should just be just, hey, come hang out, come live life. We did that so much better before we got married and had kids, right? It was, we hung out with our friends. Right. Why do we think that it all should change at this point, that we have to have a plan and, you know, do all these things?
I mentioned before we hit record, but we are currently living in an apartment. We're working on getting out of debt. And I feel like I totally do use the apartment as an excuse to have people over. I mean, all the time to my friends, I'm like, oh, when we get a house, I'll have the kids over. When we get a house, we'll be the ones to host, I promise. But I do think that it is kind of a lie that we have to wait. So I'm wondering, I'm imagining somebody out there who kind of feels the same. Maybe they already have a house, but the house isn't decorated. Or like you said, there's clutter. Do you have any words of encouragement to that person who is out there?
Absolutely. I remember when I first moved here to Mississippi, a lot of people collected this really great pottery, you know? And so anytime there was this gathering or this party, there was this beautiful pottery out every time, you know, and I would host a baby shower or something. And I'd have, you know, just my regular silver plates or whatever. I mean, I had some decent dishes, but I didn't have the whole pottery thing. And so there were times where I like was like super inadequate. It was a feeling that I had. Now nobody told me, you know, you're supposed to have these things. It was me. It was all me. And it's an attitude of my heart, really, at the end of the day, of thinking so much about myself that I'm worried about what other people will think of me if I don't have all the right things. And it's a matter of really trying to flip that perspective. If my viewpoint on the things that God has given me is that all of it's His, and I can flip that view of I'm just using His things the way He would have me to, then it helps me say, well, you know what? We need to have people over because this is God's house. You know, this is God's dishes. This is God's everything. And there are a few key things that I like to keep on hand, like whether it's lemonade mix or whether it's some cookies or something handy so that I don't feel completely inept, you know, if somebody shows up at my door. But I think it's more of a heart condition when I think too much about my stuff or my lack of stuff. It's really all about people. And if I can ever flip my heart around, and when I do let people in, when I just say yes, even when I feel like, oh my word, you know, like they're never going to talk to me again. When I do let people in, then it's always so therapeutic for me too. And I always am happy when they leave. So I have to kind of remind myself of that. Like, yes, I'm stressed out, but you know, they've come in, they've already seen me, warts and all, and they still like me, which is a miracle. So we're just going to go with it. You know, we're just going to be happy about it.
I do. I feel like there's so many benefits to just like being who you are, coming as you are. It allows you to let your walls down. It takes those relationships to a whole nother level. And I love what you said. It's like shift your focus, because when you're so worried about it, it really is kind of self-centered rather than coming from a heart of service where it's like, who cares? Let's just think about other people. And if they don't, if they are not okay with there being goldfish on the couch, then well.
Right. I mean, I think we should.
Wrong people.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think we should do all we can, but at some point, you know, like you can only do so much. And then you say, just come on in my space. If there's something about that, that makes us feel known.
Yeah.
Makes us feel seen. And it makes that other person feel known and seen. And really, I think that that's what I love. When I really understand how God loves me, it's because He knows me.
Yeah.
And He sees me. And when I understand that, then I can express that to other people. And that's what I want them to know about God. And I think it's really hard to do that without gathering together and welcoming people in and just saying, hi, man, I wish I had it all together. I'm a perfectionist at heart. I wish I could tell you, you know, like the house has been ready since 8 a.m., but it hasn't been. I just got done vacuuming 5 minutes ago. I mean, those are the lessons that I have to learn over and over again. And it's been years and years of it, but I keep putting myself into that situation because I know that's what God wants from me.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, it's obviously a heart issue, but also I think sometimes it's a perspective issue too, that we talked about a few episodes ago, just with our, you know, desiring to have a house over an apartment. But if you shift your perspective, you know, so many, just in America, it's like checking the boxes sometimes. We got to have the big house and the nice cars and have all the nice things. But there are people in America that don't have that, that have a small place and don't have all the nice things, that are inviting people into their home. And if you go to some of the other countries, they would die to have that 1,000-square-foot apartment and have the things that we have. And the other thing too is the perspective of, you know, everybody's doing this scramble when people are coming over. Like, you weren't in the house all day with the family right. that was getting ready for you to come over. I guarantee right. you they were sweeping 5 minutes before they came in and wiping the counters down and making sure everything was set and ready to go too. If we're all like that, then we should just have more grace for ourselves to realize that we're all doing that, right? And we're yeah. all kind of in the same spot. Nobody's got it all together.
Absolutely. And I think it's important too, to, as you mentioned, you know, we are so blessed already, you know, being where we are in the US and in America, and being able to have the spaces that we do, big or small. One of the things I wanted in this particular book for Guard Your Heart and Home was to make sure we highlight simple spaces, because as newlyweds, as people getting started, as young couples, you can't have all the stuff. There's not enough money necessarily for most folks to start their lives together and to have what they had at home growing up, because it took years to accumulate that. It took years to get to that point. And sometimes we get married and we get started and we think, oh, we've got to have it all right now. And that's really not the way it should be. You know, we should have to work towards that and get there one day if that's the plan, but we don't really have to have all that stuff either. I think we just need to free ourselves from some of those expectations. Yeah. And it's a financial stressor, right? I mean, if yep. you start to spend too much money, then everybody's kind of at conflict as well because of finances. And who wants to argue about money? I mean, that's not fun.
Right. Okay. So last question. I feel like, okay, the main gist of the episode was kind of finding beauty and peace in your everyday life. And I know we talked about this all because I think that the decoration, that's the beauty part. And then connecting, but ultimately I feel like the connection is what leads to the peace. That's what, at least how I have felt over the last year, as we are getting rooted in Ohio and really finding that deep connection. It's just made life so much richer. And so I feel like almost in every episode I'm preaching this, because I do think that it's this, I hate to say it's just millennials, because I really don't think it's just millennials. It's just this social media mindset where we connect online, we message each other online. Maybe we meet up for a brief coffee date after 6 cancellations, but beyond the coffee date, like, that's where we need to go. We need to go beyond the coffee date. We need to invite people into our homes and share our hearts with people and do life with people. And I think that is when the peace comes, because as you've said throughout this whole episode, yes, connecting is important, but ultimately we're sharing our hearts and we're sharing Christ and we're sharing what God is teaching us. And we can share that with each other. You know what I mean? And absolutely. So, I don't really know what my question is, but do you have anything you want to say about that? Because it's just something I feel so passionate about, and I don't really know how to verbalize the importance of it.
Right. One of my mission statement is create beauty, cultivate community, and leverage all the resources to impact the kingdom. So, I mean, it's right. That's right. What I'm trying to do with whether I'm writing a book or playing a song on the piano or whatever I'm doing with my family, I'm trying to figure out ways to create beauty, because we're all inspired by it. We love it. Some of us more than others. Some of us are drawn visually to beautiful things. Not that we need to buy them, but, you know, we can create beauty around us too. And beauty and peace kind of go hand in hand, especially if we've decluttered, if we've removed things that are in our way of hindering that moment in our home where we can be together, where we can be home. And so, you know, I want to create beauty, but I want to cultivate community too, because that's really where we, like you said, you know, we want to live life together and we all crave that. And I think now more than ever, you know, we were limited, and I thought, oh, this is great. You know, our families are going to be stronger and tighter, and everybody's just kind of itching to get away because they all want to be with their people and hang out. And I get that too. We crave that community, that connection where we can just kind of be. We don't have to be somebody else. We don't have to be better. We don't have to be different. We just get to be. And that's where I think the beauty is.
Yeah. Okay. This is a more lighthearted question. It's a little bit selfish too, but do you have any tips that we can take away? So maybe budget friendly, easy changes that we can make within our houses, or even just stuff that we can do with things that we already have to make our house, you know, more of a haven.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, don't discount bringing the beauty from the outdoors inside. Plants and flowers, and these things are not only fun to try to keep alive. I'm not always gifted at that. Sometimes you have to find the right plants, you know, that you can keep alive. But there are succulents, and succulents seem to, you know, survive almost anything. So don't discount bringing the outdoors inside, because there's just something really soothing about that as well. It's like having nature inside your home and being comfortable. But I love just the concept of shopping your house. You know, even the panels that are behind me today, they've been in different places all around our home. They're not just fixed into one room. The room stays this way forever. We move things around frequently. And I think a lot of people forget they can do that, whether it's small accessories or a chair or blankets and pillows. Instead of going out and buying brand new every time you need it, sometimes we just need to shop our house. You can pull it all out of one room and move it to a different spot, move things around, and it feels like new again. And the biggest thing you can do is clean up a room and paint. And that sometimes is the cheapest update refresh that you can do without having to spend a lot of money.
That's awesome.
Those I got to so say, hard. I love that. And we've experienced that because the first thing we did actually was we pulled up some old carpet that was in our basement, put some other stuff down, painted, and it brightened it up and rearranged some things. And then recently, after about 2 years, we shifted. There's really only two ways you can put our living room, but we shifted it to the second way and decluttered a few things. And now it's like way more open. You can roll around on the floor with the kids a little bit more. And it's
we got to get out of this house. Now we've been house hunting. We need to move like yesterday. And then we moved the living room. We're like, maybe we could stay and save up for another year.
We were kind of like, yeah.
That's super important too, because the rooms that we have in our house, we don't need to listen to anybody else tell us what needs to happen in that room. I have a friend and I who talk about this all the time. The room actually needs to work for your family in the season you're in right now.
Yes. Because
if it doesn't, then what are you doing? You're just trying to fake it or trying to make a room because you're supposed to have that. When in reality, you took your living room, you made it a space where you guys can play on the floor, where the kids are going to have great memories from that in the future. And I think that's so wise. I don't know why we don't do that more.
For sure.
I love that. Sure.
And before we end, I want to give a guy's ringing endorsement of this book. I'll be honest. I just looked at it today, but I was reading through the passages. First off, it's just a different book than I've ever seen before. Because on the outside, it looks like it would be, you know, purely like a design book, and you open it and there are design elements intertwined.
Amazing
in
ones.
It, really good ones too, which, you know, as a husband, you kind of for me at least, I just kind of let Beth design what our house is going to look like, not girl it up too much and keep things clean. But if you're even a guy that is living on your own, like, you know, the stereotype of guys living on their own with those apartments or houses look like this gives you some good design tips. And I know the devotionals are geared towards women, but a lot of it is just speaks to anybody. Just really good advice and tips. And it's a cool thing. Just like you said, that was an interesting thing that you said for your thoughts on the book was, if you just have it out, this is a book that you can have out. It's beautiful. Somebody might pick it up and think it's just, you know, it's a design thing, and they open it, and then you can expose people to Jesus, which is really cool. And the devotionals, like I said earlier, they're really good. They're quick, but they're deep and just very well thought out. I really enjoyed at least the small amount of time I've looked so far, Victoria. It's really, really good.
Yeah. And I have had it because I'm a book hog and have been looking at it for the last couple of weeks, but I will say it's a great gift, especially with the holidays coming up. If you're looking for a gift for your mother-in-law or for your mom or whoever, it's such a pretty gift. And I don't know, I'm all about gifts that have purpose and don't just add to the clutter, because I hate clutter. And I feel like this is like right on the mark.
And it serves multiple purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It's, it's been a fun project, you know, to work through. I've got some great Instagram friends that have contributed, and you'll see their names in there as well. They, you know, blend faith and family really well on their Instagram pages and their blogs. And they're just so gracious to share some of their really great photos and their tips. We got design tips and marriage tips and just, you know, just practical everyday things that sometimes you don't think about. And having a short devotional that has one, you know, scripture passage and one prayer, you know, that's my goal is sometimes we can't keep up with the 3-point, you know, outline. We've got to have one thing and then we can meditate on it. I think it just facilitates being able to actually think through it during the day and really be able to meditate. And I hope that it will be an encouragement for sure.
It definitely will. I totally believe that. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I don't know. I love this conversation. I feel like I want to go move around the living room again and get an end table.
It would just go back to where it was because we only got 2 ways we can shift it, baby.
Victoria, thank you so much. We appreciate you and your time. And we'll put the link to all of your information and where you can get the book in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me. It was so fun.
Cue the outro.
Thank you all so much for listening today. Our listeners mean the world to us and are what make this podcast possible. As you know, our episodes come out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss when a new one releases. Also, if you leave us a review on iTunes, it would mean the world to us. Be sure to check the show notes for any other links mentioned today. Talk to you all soon.